The scripture reading continues in Genesis 28. This is verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places wherever you go, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading.
Once again, good morning. Happy Sabbath to see everybody here on this beautiful Sabbath day. And yes, we have come into the presence of our God to worship him on this day that he has asked us to come in and sup with him. And Corky, you've already hit upon part of it here today there, speaking about the problems that are going on here in the world. But thank God that we have a God that will be with us no matter what happens to each and every one of us during these times. We know that we're in the end times and that Jesus will come soon. We're assured that. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, that say that it probably won't happen and why hasn't it happened yet, but we know that it will be. God is sure with his promises. And so we do that, and as we do see, you know, all the troubles and problems of today that are falling upon us, not just here, but around the world, you know, all the disasters, the economy that's, you know, has tanked, and wars and other disasters that we've had, deaths that are happening, everything. Another plane crash where over 100 people have been killed, you know. And so we know that things are not looking good. But we've been told about these things in the Bible that we know is true, and that we have to continue to look at and be that. And so we know that we are living, as a sermon is, in uncertain times. And this morning we're going to talk a little about bad boy Jacob. And maybe in a couple of minutes you'll see why I said bad boy Jacob there. But let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, thank thee, Father, that we have in your presence. Thank you on this holy Sabbath day as brothers and sisters to come together in unity, Father, to worship thee as church. And throughout the world, the Sabbath day as it falls, Father, your people coming together, many in adverse conditions and many in hiding, Father. We just pray that you will give them that special day blessing today, and that the Holy Spirit will be with each one of them as well as he is here with us, Father, today, and that we truly may be children of the living God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes. Let's turn to Genesis 28, chapter 28 there. And that's the main part of all the talk today is on, about there, verses 10 through 22. But just let's look at the previous chapter, chapter 27 there, to start out there and see what transpired there. And it starts out in 27 that Isaac was growing old, couldn't hardly see anymore, and he thought that his time was short. And so he was ready to give the blessing to his oldest son. And that, those times, as we know, that's when the blessing, most of the blessing and most of everything that the fathers had went to the firstborn. The rest of the children were not left out, but the bulk of everything to get it. And he was going to bless Isaac, or Esau. He was going to bless Esau. But we know that God had promised the other way around, that Jacob would receive the blessing, or at least the bulk of it, and then Esau would serve him instead of Jacob serving Esau. So he was able to do that. But then we know that with his mother, kind of in control, she had favored Jacob over Esau, and the father had favored Esau. That way, and it's things like that go on today also in certain families, you know, there. And so we know that Rebecca was, trying to make things work to her betterment, you know. And she found out that Jacob or Isaac was going to give Esau the blessing. So she, you know, connived to do this and that. And we know that Jacob went in and to steal the birthright from his brother Esau. And in losing that birthright, Esau wanted to slay Jacob. You know, but out of respect for the father, he postponed his planning for that because he didn't think his father had too much longer to live. But his father lived for 43 more years. Here he was, a man, Isaac, 137 years old already. And he was going to, thought he was going to die, but he lived for another 43 years. So he held off on that. But Rebekah, hearing what Esau was planning, you know, persuaded Jacob to go to her brother Haran, you know, to save him. It was only supposed to be for a few days. It wasn't supposed to be for 20 years that he was gone. And for this thing, her punishment was that she was never to see Jacob again. So that, and so she talked that, and then she got Isaac also to be the one to really to send Jacob. And he told Jacob to go to his uncle and to take a daughter from one of his uncle's daughters there, you know. So God, Isaac was planning on Jacob to be married. Esau had already been married before. His first marriage was when he was 40 years old, and Jacob hadn't been born yet, or hadn't been married yet, you know. So he was to go there and pick one of the daughters there. And we know the story, you've heard the story there, the 7 years and 7 years, 14 years, all that. And then 20 years later, Jacob was able to come home. You know. But so she got Jacob away from that, you know, and things that there. And Jacob obeyed his father. And he left for Haran. And we know that today, sometimes it's hard to get the children to obey their parents. But here Jacob was obeying his father. He obeyed his mother and going along with her scheme that she had. But then she here was obeying Jacob. And as I said, bad boy Jacob. How old was Jacob? How old was Jacob at this time? 'd be a few out there that are that age or about that age today here. You know. What do you think? He was 77 years old. That's right. 77 years old when this happened. And here he was, a man of 77, obeying his father. Doing what his father told him to do. If we have our parents alive, do we obey our parents at that age? No. And the children today obeying their parents, you know, see that. And so we're taught he was 77. So Esau and Jacob were 77 years old. Isaac was 137 years old. Isaac lived for another 43 years. And I said, Jacob came back home 20 years later. He was 97 years old when he came back home. So he was gone quite a while. But we see there in verse 11, I'm not going to read in chapter 28 there, the 10 through 22 in verse 11 there. We see that Jacob was gone for about 2 days and he needed to rest, you know, for the evening was coming. So he set up camp in a certain place, stayed the night. And the Bible says it's a dream at Bethel, you know. But at that time, the place was not named. There was no name for that. He had traveled about 70 miles on his 400-mile journey to Haran. You know, and as I said, the place was not noteworthy. Didn't even have a name at that time. There was nothing, you know, particularly holy about that place or anything like that. It was just a barren place, dirt and stones. That's all it was there. And he had no reason to expect anything that, you know, was going to happen, you know, out of the ordinary there, two of them there. But we see soon after falling asleep with his head on a rock, which was common practice in ancient times, God came to Jacob in a dream. I was going to bring a rock in here, and if anybody was out there 77 years old or about that, I was going to have them come up here and lay their head on that rock and see how it felt to do that. But I didn't bring it, you know. But in that dream, and we've read this story before, Jacob saw a stairway going from earth to heaven. angels were going, you know, between the two realms, and the Lord Yahweh was at the top of that ladder, you know. And he understood that ladder, that stairway, to symbolize a place where there was access to God. He was able to access God there, you know. And you know, being the bad boy he did, you know, he stole that birthright. He was running away because he feared for his life. Esau always wanted to kill him, you know. But yet, he was going to rely upon his Lord, even at that time, you know. So he was doing that, you know. And the main point of the dream was to affirm that, to Jacob, that the Lord and his angels were there to preserve him. And they were present and active at that time in his life, right there with him. You know, and as we see in verse 16, he was unaware of them. And probably most of us have been at points in our lives also that we've been unaware of God being with us, of the Lord being there, or the Holy Spirit being there with us, you know. But we know that he was there and that he is with us today. And we probably never will have a special dream like Jacob had, you know. But it's revealed to us through the Bible that God is present and active in everybody's life, you know, especially when we're unaware of his presence, you know, and that happens a lot, unaware of God's presence, you know. But God shows up at unexpected times and unexpected occurrences in each one of our lives in this uncertain time of age, you know. It's uncertainty what's going to be tomorrow, everything, but we have that certainty that God is with us no matter what, you know. And as we see there in verses 13 through 15, the Lord speaks to Jacob, and it is from that speech that we learn that there's at least 4 points to remember in uncertain times. And the first one is to remember God's promises. God, the promise here he gave to Jacob, to the family, you know. In verse 13, we see that there. And behold, the Lord stood before it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest to thee will I give, and to thy seed. You know. In the uncertain times of today, we are to remember God's promises. And the principle is true for Jacob as well as it is for us today. In the uncertain times, God's promises. And we read throughout the whole Bible God's promises. We know that God is trustworthy no matter what happens in each one of our lives. You know, we all face difficult times. We all have things happen in our lives that we question. Why are they happening to us, though? You know, but we need to open our Bibles and let the Holy Spirit work with our hearts and our minds, and to see the God's promises that are there, knowing that they will be fulfilled, not in our way, but in God's way. We'll have to allow the will of God to work in each one of our lives, you know. Ellen White says, every promise in God's word is ours. When assailed by temptation, look not to circumstances or to the weaknesses of self, but to the power of the word. All its strength is ours. The faith I live by, page 23. And know that we can depend upon God. Second one is, in certain times, remember God's presence. We can face the future with confidence, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what's happening around us or in the world, you know. Remember that God is with us. What promises God will give us there. Jacob needed that also, as we see in verse 15, as well as we do today. Jacob might felt alone. We feel alone sometimes too, no matter who is around us, you know. But we know that Jacob was never alone. And once we give our lives over to Lord Jesus Christ, we are never alone. God says that he will not leave us. He is always with us. And remembering his presence in uncertain times, you know, has been a source of encouragement for the saints, as well as encouragement for us today. What encouragement that we have, because God says he is with us. He will never leave us. What assurances that we have. So why shouldn't we give our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ? They're going to be there for us no matter what happens, you know. It's just that, and we could look to see that in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Also in Matthew 28, I am with you always. You know, God is with us always, always with his children, no matter what. And then in uncertain times, remember God's protection. And that was what God next reminded Jacob of, his protection. We see that again in verse 15. He said, I am with you and will watch or keep you. In other words, I'm going to protect you on this perilous journey that you're taking. Doesn't mean that nothing hurtful is going to happen to him. But it did mean, just as it means to us today, God will protect us so that his plan, which is good, comes to fruition. God has a plan for each and every one of us. We know that we do things in our lives to thwart that plan. But God still has a plan for us. And he wants each and every one of us to have eternal life. He doesn't want any of us to perish. He gives us everything that we need to accomplish that we will not perish. You know. And we do that. Jacob didn't have to worry about his brother's anger. He didn't have to worry about bandits. He didn't have to worry about the wild animals. He trusted God that he would take care of and protect him. And no matter what, we can trust God today. That assurance that we have, you know. We don't have to fear the dangers that we have today. You know, terrorism, disease, crime, financial loss, natural disasters. God has promised to watch over us, and we know that that certainly is enough no matter what happens. And in uncertain times, we need to remember God's provision. He provided for every one of us. Everything that we need, God has supplied and will supply. We see that in verse 15 also. To watch over you has a dual meaning. The Hebrew word to watch meant to protect and to provide for or to take care of. And we talked about it in last week's Sabbath school lesson there. The word was first used in Genesis 2:15 when God instructed Adam to take care of the garden, to provide for its needs. In this story here, we read about Jacob. God was promising to take care of Jacob, was going to provide everything that he needed, you know, to keep him from harm. And we know that he did that throughout Jacob's life, you know, as he was there in Haran, his 14 years of service to his father-in-law, and all through that, returning back home. Jacob, when 20 years later, he was still worrying about Esau, what was going to happen when Esau saw him, you know, but he didn't really have to worry about it. God was going to protect him. And we can see in verse 20, we see that. And Jacob vowed a saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. You know, Jacob clearly understood that God would protect him, you know, would watch over him through this journey, would provide the food and the clothing for him. And we know that we can expect that same protection today. Promise to provide for all of his needs. Israel of old, through the 40 years in the wilderness and then in the promised land, God promised to provide for them, and he did. We know that they paid the consequences for rebelling against him, but yet he still provided for them. He knows what we need. He even takes care of the sparrows. And that means that he certainly will provide for each one of us. We don't have to worry about that. And unless, you know, doing some of these Sabbath school lessons the last few weeks, talking about fear and other stuff, and we say that we don't fear anything because we have God, but I still believe that we do. You know, we don't have to worry about them, but yet these fears that are happening to ourselves, to our families, to our friends, you know, does put fear in my heart anyway, and in my, you know, but I have to rely upon God. You have to rely upon God. We know that he has given us Holy Spirit to be able to sort these things out in our hearts. We got a pathway to go. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us down that pathway. We just have to obey. And when Satan does throw a stumbling block in there, that temptation that is put there, we have to tell Satan to get thee behind us. It is written. And God gives us that power. He gives that assurance that we can do that, you know. God's promise, presence, and his favor that he gives us to us, his people are safe. We know that we're going to have persecution for truth's sake. What each one of our persecution is going to be, I don't know. You don't know yet. But when it does come, the assurance that we can rely upon God and his promise to see us through. We may even lose our lives over it. Are we prepared to lose our lives for the Lord? Especially with the assurance of eternal life, that one day things will be made right. That we don't have to worry about what's happening here on this earth, because we know that this is, you know, but a stepping stone to the future. The eternal life that God has promised us, the new Jerusalem that he has promised us, you know. His goodness and the riches of his grace are their protection and salvation. Sermons and talks from Ellen White, she tells us that there. And these are the bases that I've said of our uncertain times. God's promise, God's presence, God's protection, God's provision. Each one of us can have these. They're there for our asking. We just have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and rely on him for everything. And I mean everything. Leave nothing out to do that. So we know that God will be there and he will protect us if we give ourselves to thee. And to close with just a little bit about the ladder that Jacob saw there from Ellen White. Jesus is the ladder to heaven. And God calls upon us to mount this ladder. But we cannot do this while we load ourselves down with earthly treasures. We wrong ourselves when we place our convenience and personal advantages before the things of God. There is no salvation in earthly positions or surroundings. A man is not exalted in God's sight or accredited by him as possessing goodness because he has earthly riches. If we gain a genuine experience in climbing, we should learn that as we ascend, we must leave every hindrance behind. Jacob thought to gain a right to the birthright through deception, but he found himself disappointed. He thought he had lost everything, his connection to God, his home, and all there was a disappointed fugitive. But what did God do? He looked upon him in his hopeless condition. He saw his disappointment, and he saw there was material there that would render back glory to God. And in each one of us, God sees that same material that he can render us back to his glory. So we do that. A man can climb it, for the base rests upon the earth, and the topmost round reaches into heaven, where we know that our Lord is the God of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is there. And we just need to make sure that we climb that ladder. Each rung at a time. We know that we're going to slip, but we know that Jesus is there to pick us up. So I just pray that we will all do that, that we will be ready to be picked up by the Lord Jesus Christ as doing it. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, thank thee that as a hen clutches her chicks under her wings, we know that we are under your wings. We are under your protection, Father, and we pray that we will be soon with Jesus, for we know that your protection and your promises are true, Father, and we know that the salvation is there for each one of us. We just pray that we will be your representatives to take this message to a dying world. Use us, Father, where you may. May we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.